It's Monday, June 29th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Let me begin by apologizing first and foremost to Ryan Grimm from the Huffington Post, but also to all you Stashers out there trying to download the Thursday and Friday editions of the Daily Audio Stash that featured those interviews with Ryan Grimm and High Times' Danny Danko, for that matter. Apologize for that. We had a switch in servers that are hosting our audio files because, well, you guys have made the stash so darn popular, the old server couldn't handle it. And as is the case with things on the internet, sometimes it takes a day or two for all the changes to percolate all through the inner tubes. But it should be all fixed now, so if you want to go back and get your stash fixed for Thursday and Friday, they should be there. Also want to offer a congratulations out to the founder of the Normal Daily Audio Stash, Chris Goldstein, who has just been elected the executive director of Normal New Jersey. Boy, legalization can't be far off on the East Coast with Chris out there working hard, so congratulations, Chris, and we'll get you on the stash to talk about it one of these days. Also want to thank Stasher Jillian and many others who've commented on this regarding drug czar Gil Kerlikowske's recent statement at a press conference.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Now, I had reported on that last week and wrote down, somebody get Barack and Gil a dictionary, kinda as a joke, but Jillian took it seriously. She said that you can get these little pocket dictionaries at the dollar store, and we ought to highlight the word legalization and send it into the drug czar. So I've begun the campaign, Dictionaries for Drug Czar Kerlikowske. You can check it out up at thestash.normal.org, because our president and our drug czar need bigger vocabularies. So find the dictionary and find the word legalization and highlight it, or just get a postcard and write down on it, Director Kerlikowske, here's a new word for your vocabulary, legalization, noun, the act of authorizing something previously illegal. Mail your dictionary or your postcard to the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Executive Office of the President, Attention Director Gil Kerlikowske, Washington, D.C., 20503, and we'll keep you informed on how the campaign is going. Finally, a personal comment on some of the notes I've been reading regarding the death of singer Michael Jackson. A lot of outlets are reporting now that he may have had an addiction to prescription Demerol or other painkillers that might have led to his death, and some people are wondering, well, if he'd used medical marijuana, would he still be alive today? I think that's awfully speculative. We really don't know what was going on in Michael's medical history and what the advice from his doctor was regarding painkillers or medical marijuana. And there's some doubt as to whether or not Michael's religion would have even permitted him to use medical marijuana. So I think it's a little bit of jumping to conclusions to say that medical marijuana would have saved his life. We can say that using medical marijuana would have been much safer than a shot of prescription Demerol. So just my thoughts about that, and I'm curious about yours. Leave your comments at stash.normal.org. Now, coming up in today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines, including a look at Representative Barney Frank and his colleagues who are calling for the end of penalties for adult marijuana possession, a letter that he sent out to his congressional colleagues. We'll bring that to you here on the Stash. Also, we've got a story from Boulder, Colorado, where police are forced to return stolen marijuana. That's always good news. And a look at the drug war taking place at the Mexican border from a newspaper in Arizona that notes how the streets underneath Nogales have turned into Swiss cheese from all the smuggling tunnels underneath. In our first segment today, we bring you a brand new segment that will be happening every Monday that takes a look at the inside workings of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. On the first Monday of the month, and starting early because we've got 4th of July weekend next weekend, we bring you Alan St. Pierre to give you the breakdown on this month in Normal. Alan's going to be talking about our upcoming Normal conference. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we continue playing for you the winners of the 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards. Today we feature the best hip-hop song from a group called Adult Film Stars. And in our second segment, Grassroots Activism, we take a look at a man in Tennessee named Bernie Ellis, who is fighting for free and fair elections in his small central Tennessee town. It's a story that's getting a lot of play across the blogosphere, and you'll hear it first here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. There are more changes to the Stash coming throughout the rest of this week. Let me know what you think at stash.normal.org. And now it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Representatives Frank, Paul, Hinchy, and Rohrabacher send letter to congressional colleagues promoting marijuana decriminalization. Dear colleague, last Thursday, we reintroduced House Resolution 2943, the Personal Use of Marijuana by Responsible Adults Act of 2009, which would remove federal penalties for the personal use of 100 grams or 3.5 ounces of marijuana by responsible adults. This bill was introduced as H.R. 5843 during the 110th Congress. The act would not affect existing state or local laws or any federal laws prohibiting the cultivation, sale for profit, or the import and export of marijuana. Polls show that a majority of Americans favor the reduction of penalties for individuals who possess and use marijuana within certain limits. It is clear that as misinformation regarding the drug continues to be corrected, more people are moving to support its decriminalization. At this critical juncture in our economic history, we can no longer afford to spend money on a drug enforcement program that the public no longer supports, and which consumes law enforcement's valuable resources and time. The federal government should remove the current conflict with state law and allow states to decide on these matters for themselves. 12 states already have laws that significantly reduce penalties for possession of small amounts of marijuana, in many cases providing for a mere civil fine. The states are California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, and Oregon. What the bill will not do, it would not affect federal laws prohibiting the sale of marijuana for profit, import and export of marijuana, or the manufacturing or cultivating of marijuana. It would not legalize major drug dealing or create obstacles for agents of the federal government seeking to prevent major drug dealing. It would not affect any state or local laws and regulations. And it would not alter the legal status of marijuana as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substances Act. Please join us in supporting common sense legislation that will bring federal law up to date. If you would like to become a co-sponsor of Personal Use of Marijuana by Responsible Adults Act of 2009, please contact our congressional offices. Representative Barney Frank, Representative Ron Paul, Representative Maurice Hinchey, and Representative Dana Rohrabacher. Police return stolen marijuana to Boulder Dispensary. Boulder, Colorado. Several cartons and dozens of mason jars filled with high-grade marijuana were turned over by Boulder police on Thursday to owners of a medical marijuana dispensary, returned to those who just lost it in a brazen theft 1 week ago. The marijuana, more than 28 different strains of weed, were recovered by police from a quartet of men who allegedly stole it in a mid-afternoon heist, along with surveillance equipment owned by the New Options Wellness Clinic, and were then tracked down and arrested as they tried to flee on U.S. 36. The four are scheduled for a preliminary hearing in Boulder County Court July 6th. In the meantime, the drugs were logged by police as evidence for the prosecution of the theft case, but on Thursday were returned to the clinic, which has remained open since the heist. Boulder Police spokeswoman Sarah Huntley said, quote, "Basically, we consider this a routine return of property to victims of a crime. We are basically returning property to victims. It's not adversarial in any way at all. We are hoping to prosecute this case successfully and get them the justice they deserve." End quote. It was seen as anything but routine by representatives of the clinic. There are numerous cases of police returning marijuana to clinics, but in most cases that has occurred when it was the police who seized live plants, were then ordered by the court to return them, and often have done so with the plants in considerably worse shape than when they'd been taken. Representatives of the New Options Wellness Clinic would not estimate by weight how much marijuana was stolen or how much the police gave back to them today. However, Huntley said the original amount stolen mostly filled 2 18-gallon Rubbermaid tubs. Our Colorado activists are still trying to get police to take care of the live plants they seize, as Amendment 20 mandates they do. One attorney in Aspen likened it to cops taking in a dog during a seizure raid. They don't just pick up the dog, throw him in a box, and not feed and water him, do they? And it's not like they don't have plenty of ballasts, lights, and other grow equipment they've got in the evidence room from dozens of illegal grow seizures. Still, it's great to finally have police on our side for once, isn't it? Nogales, Arizona's underground like Swiss cheese from smugglers' tunnels. From the Washington Post. Nogales, Arizona. They call themselves the Tunnel Rats. Trained in close-quarter combat, psychologically certified to work in confined spaces, and armed to the teeth, these four-member teams of Border Patrol agents monitor an elaborate underground warren of dark and dangerous storm drains that crisscross these twin downtowns along the border. In the past 9 months, they have discovered 16 new tunnels dug by smugglers in Nogales to move drugs, migrants, cash, and weapons between Mexico and the United States. The number of tunnels sets a new record. A Border Patrol official calls the burst of subterranean activity, quote, startling. Supervisory Border Patrol agent Brooke Howells, a tunnel team's leader, says, quote, "It's Swiss cheese under there. They're constantly burrowing. If you are a smuggler, a working tunnel can be a very lucrative enterprise," end quote. The digging has become so extensive beneath Nogales that the southbound traffic lane through the international port of entry collapsed. Howells said, quote, "Before that, the parking lot at the customs office caved in. They collapse all the time," end quote. The tunnelers pop up all over town. Border Patrol agents report that it is not uncommon to see a manhole cover suddenly lift during rush hour and men run out of the hole. why do I have the image of Bill Murray's Carl Spackler character from Caddyshack running through my mind? Look, this is going to happen even if marijuana were legalized here, because there will still be migrants, cash, guns, and hard drugs to smuggle. But I have to think that digging tunnels isn't just a dude with a shovel. It's got to take some money to make a significant tunnel. Legalize marijuana, and you remove 60% of the profits from the cartels, and maybe they have to cut back on their tunneling budget. Then, here in America, we can grow our own and buy our own domestic marijuana and not contribute 1 cent, or centavo, to Mexican smugglers' tunneling budget. We might even develop some more interesting hybrids.
This is a hybrid. This is a cross, bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass, featherbed bent, and Northern California sensimilla. The amazing stuff about this is that you can play 36 holes on it in the afternoon, take it home and just get stoned to the bejesus belt that night on this stuff. I got pounds of this stuff. Here.
Win people over. You can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, we cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level, with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009. Yes, we cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California. Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government, and from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal. Well, here we go, starting our new segment here on The Stash. This week in Normal, we're starting a week early because we've got the 4th of July weekend coming up next weekend. And joining us here is the hardest working man in media, the subject of so many media interviews, we can't even count them anymore, Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal. Welcome back, Alan.
Good day, Russ.
Hey, so we're starting for this week in Normal. We're really just going to look at this upcoming national conference, which we've just announced. Let's give our listeners an idea what they can expect here at our 2009 national conference.
This will be, hopefully, the largest and most comprehensive of the 37 prior national conference. This is the only national conference in the United States for pro-marijuana law reformists. There are other drug policy seminars and stuff. Many of them cost quite a bit more than ours, and they cover all kinds of topics beyond cannabis. There are others that are invite-only. If you're a cannabis activist, you actually have to get invited to their conference, and in many cases, that's paid for. No, this is the people's conference, if you will. The average cost is about $150 to attend the three-day conference. We concentrate this year on the first day on a medical marijuana-only day. That is really a cannabis best practices from the lawyers and the physicians' point of view. And then we break out into our typical two-day seminars that look at, and this year the focus is Yes We Cannabis and legalization, since that clearly is the topic du jour in the reform movement these days. So almost all the panels look at what does the future of legalization look like, what does taxation look like, will rates go up under legalization, meaning use rates, what's it going to be like as a parent under legalization as compared to prohibition. It is a great, great conference. Last year we had 435 people attend. This year's goal is to get at least 500 to 600 people to come to the Grand Hyatt Hotel, September 24th through the 26th, San Francisco. There'll be tours of cannabis buyers clubs and wellness centers in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland. Individuals can likely arrange for a pickup at the Oakland or San Francisco hotels from the infamous 420 limousine.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great, great event. About half the audience comes from California, and they're there to really learn what's going on in California and how far the vanguard has been pushed there. The other half comes from all around the United States, Mr. and Mrs. from Indiana, Joe Blow from Georgia.
Didn't we have some people from Japan one of those years, too?
What's that?
Didn't we have some people come in from Japan one of those years?
Yeah, we've had people come from all over the world. We've had people come from Japan, France. Last 2 years ago, we had somebody come in from Sweden. So people come in to take in, really, this amazing three-day event. Lots of great lectures from the most famous and renowned experts on cannabis, physicians, medical researchers, cannabis buyer, dispensary owners, researchers, sociologists, activists, lawyers, politicians, former prosecutors and judges. So it is a great, great event.
Now, lest people think that they're going to come to a three-day conference and, you know, be sitting behind a desk and taking notes and being studious the whole time, let's let them know the flip side of the coin, what happens in the evenings.
Oh, boy. Well, of course, Normal is known quite well for its socials, and we definitely burn this up on both ends. The conference itself is a wonderful event, but the evenings, whether it's the High Times, Normal, Silent Auction, Activist Awards, this year we're having a special party for Normal's chapter leaders who are coming out to the event, and then the infamous Saturday night fundraising party, which we haven't announced either the musical talent or the venue yet, but all I can say is for anybody who attended last year's Saturday night benefit, we aspire higher if that's conceivable.
I'm telling you, from what I remember of the party last year, the other thing, too, from some of the rumors going around about the possible musical guests, I'm thrilled. That's all I'm going to say until it's absolutely confirmed, but I'm thrilled.
It looks like we're trying to get some comedians to come on in. I think that the host this year, same as last year, the Harborside Health Center will make sure that those of us who are coming notably from the East Coast will be duly impressed with the amazing visions and scenes they'll put before us. So the socials are great, and the networking is outstanding. People get a chance to meet and hang out with people that they communicate online with, or that they've only known through reading about them online or through blogs or High Times magazine. And most everybody is very friendly, stick their hand out and say, hi.
I will second that, especially since it was attending normal conferences in 06 and 07 that led to me being here in 09. So it's amazing what you can learn, the people you'll meet, the networking that you'll do. It'll do you well in activism and in your personal life. It can do wonders. And I also want to mention this special focus that we've got this year, seeing it's kind of my domain here, on our local chapter leaders and what we're mm-hmm. doing for the local activists this year.
Absolutely. The big focus this year, not only on the panels in the breakout sessions on tools for activists, but the fact that we're having a special party for activists, that there's tremendously dropped rates for normal chapter leaders. I mean, if they take advantage of the early bird specials available to them, they're coming in at almost 50% off of the regular rate. So we're really trying to incentivize folks. And it is them having to spend their own money, to take their own time off from work. That's what makes normal conferences so great. About half or more of the people are, I would describe, blue-collar workers who get 2 weeks off a year, and this is how they're going to spend 3 or 4 of those days in amazing cannabis-tolerant San Francisco.
Yeah, I hear it all the time when we go to these conferences and we're meeting people from the East Coast, or especially in the Midwest or the South, and they get to walk around the streets of San Francisco in a cannabis-friendly world, and it helps to focus that vision. I know when you're working hard in the trenches down at the local level and you're trying to just even pass, say, a low-priority initiative in a city of, say, 10,000, it can be so frustrating. You come out to California, you see what it can be, and I think it inspires and refreshes people in their activism.
Indeed, it reminds one of Marco Polo, really, the idea that you travel to faraway places, see things that you perceive to be valuable, you'd like to be replicated back in your hometown or society, and do so. And so when people come back and into a Roswell, Georgia, for example, or a Spartan, South Carolina, that, you know, having been to a San Francisco, an Oakland, a Portland, a Seattle, a Los Angeles base, and a Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara, and to see how mainstream marijuana is in those areas, to be able to come back and talk in the first person about what you've seen and why you'd like to see it replicated in your region.
Yeah, Yes We Cannabis is our national conference this year in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt. Early bird rates are available up through the end of July, so get online to norml.org. Look on the right side. There's a big old Yes We Cannabis link. You can click it. Takes you right to the registration pages. And for you normal chapter leaders out there that want to take advantage of the special rates, email me at stash@normal.org, and I'll send you that link for the reduced rates. Before we let you go, Alan, anything as far as the technical details of getting there, where we're staying, the hotel, is it sold out yet? What can you tell us?
All very good questions. Here are some technical aspects of it. Because of smoking restrictions in California in general, not just for marijuana, medical marijuana, or tobacco, we only have 30 smoking rooms. So for those who really feel that that's a premium they need to have, then they want to procure those rooms immediately. We only were able to get 10 out of the 20 handicap accessible rooms, so those who have wheelchairs or whatnot, they absolutely want to jump on this very quickly. And lastly, that there are 2 major airports that fly into the San Francisco area. Obviously San Francisco Airport, but as the crow flies, only about 8 miles away, though through traffic it might seem like 800 miles away at times, the Oakland Airport. And so they're both really easy to fly into. I mentioned earlier that there are commercial entities like the 420 limousine that can pick people up and bring them to the hotel, which is right at Union Square. This is a tremendous 4-star tower hotel right downtown, right on top of the BART system. So anybody who's ever wanted just to see San Francisco, which is a great American city, this is a great opportunity to do a twofer.
Yeah. Absolutely. And let's remind folks also the dates, September 24th through 26th are a Thursday through Saturday. The Thursday is going to be the medical cannabis only day. The Friday and Saturday are typical plenary and breakout sessions. It is available as a package for 2 days, or you can add the Thursday day for a third day to make it a 3-day package. We also have single day tickets available as well. And, you want to check up on NORML.org as quickly as possible to get those early bird rates.
We also have senior and student discounts. We're trying to do everything we can possibly do, Russ, to get as many people in the door. I said earlier, we'd love to have 500 or 600 people show up, and that would make it one of the biggest normal conferences ever. But I have to tell you, deep down inside of me, after a better part of 19 years at Normal, I still can't figure out why 5,000 people are not coming to this conference. So aspire higher. I'd love to be able to turning people away.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Normal National Conference, Yes We Cannabis, Grand Hyatt Hotel, San Francisco, California, September 24th through 26th, and registration available at NORML.org. Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and probably has another interview to do in 5 or 10 minutes. So, Alan, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us here on The Stash.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins. No, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit NORML.org today. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Today we're listening to 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Hip-Hop Song, La 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 on That, by Adult Film Stars. The Adult Film Stars profess to have a lot of experience with drugs, and they use their life experience as the inspiration for their lyrics in the style of traditional party rap. UBR Magazine says, quote, Adult Film Stars' music and flows have charm with lyrics that are clever as well as musically pleasing, end quote. The duo have released a number of mixtapes. To hear more of Adult Film Stars, visit myspace.com/goguts or goguts.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's La 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 on That by Adult Film Stars.
Yo, Zuko, you killing him. You killing him. It's your time, man. Stop playing with him. Yo, Danny, stop playing with him.
Let's take it back to the essence. Chill, homie, no fessing. Buddha blessing, good deeds, good blessings. Feeling precious, looking good in your presence. In my present, this flow on this beat, in this heat. 93 on a Tuesday. I'm on that purple Mukanda like a turtle. That's real smooth. On point, jump hurdles, duck circles, buck clowns, duck down, I'm flying now. Way too high to touch down. Get the touchdown, MVP, comeback king. Then I come back, touchdown, one back rings. Like consecutively back to back. So we can go back to back. Take steps, then turn and clap. I ain't concerned with that. Way back, the nigga learned to laugh. Learned his math, reading, writing, and I'm on that. Yeah, that's why I feel like. Yeah, yeah, and I'm on that. Yeah, that's why I feel like.
Yo, yeah, yo. Yeah, yo, I'm down here on the best ever tour, best ever score. Getting ready for the next level, gotta settle scores. Film stars, get awards, never saw losers. Metaphors for the best ever, heavy on the cool shit. Santana Moss, my main man of course. Zuko University, be cool like Santa Claus. Move like the hand of God, stay in charge for a long time. Every day is hard to stay alive, gotta play the odds. Stay smart with creative arts, make a mark like a game of darts. If you came to party, take it off. Show your wild side right here outside. Do it for the fans with your hands up, sound alive. Broadcast via satellite, Comcast, simulcast live all around the map. How you loving that? How you loving this? The film stars on the next shit, sound alive.
Yeah, that's why I feel like. Yeah, yeah, and I'm on that. Yeah, that's why I feel like.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, or personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism. Working here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, I get a lot of contacts with people all around the country and all sorts of interesting emails that make it to my inbox. This story comes to me from Tennessee, and though it's not technically a story about marijuana or marijuana law reform, it does have to do with those same kind of principles of fighting up against a corrupt system and standing up for what are
inalienable rights are in this country. And Paul Kuhn, who's a member of the Normal Board of Directors, he's in Tennessee, and he put me onto this story, a story of a man named Bernie Ellis, who is joining us now from a small community in central Tennessee called Fly, Tennessee. And Bernie, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this story involves you and some problems with the Secretary of State's office there in Tennessee, I understand, where you've been identified as a potential terrorist. Why don't you tell our listeners how that came to be?
Well, Russ, I'd be happy to. For the last 5 years, I've been working along with a grassroots organization I helped form to get us back to voting systems that are more trustworthy and verifiable than these touchscreen electronic machines. And we've been, you know, battling entrenched interest, and you know, obviously there are politicians who I think benefit from having insecure and easily tampered with elections. So it's definitely been an uphill battle, but 2 weeks ago, we succeeded by a single vote in our state Senate in keeping a law in place that will replace these untrustworthy machines with paper ballots by the 2010 election. And our Secretary of State, who was fighting hard to keep our elections insecure and untrustworthy, decided to call the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation and charge me with making a terrorist threat against a government official. So last Tuesday afternoon, a nice shiny black car pulled down my driveway with two TBI agents in it, and I invited them to sit up on the porch, and they said, you know, bottom line, you've been a complaint has been filed for you making a terrorist threat. And I said, what on earth that I've done could be construed that way? Because I have never communicated in any fashion with the Secretary of State's office. All of our communication has been with the legislature. And the agent said, well, you made reference in on a blog entry of all places to the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, and this Secretary of State decided that you were fomenting revolution by making reference to the Battle of Athens. So for your listeners who don't know what the Battle of Athens is, in 1946, a group of World War II veterans came home to Athens, Tennessee, which was controlled by a very corrupt political machine, and they announced that they were no longer going to let that machine essentially steal elections. And the GIs were Republicans and Democrats and Independents, but they all banded together and said, we want honest elections. We're not going to let another one be stolen. So when the local corrupt machine confiscated all of the ballot boxes on election eve and took them to the sheriff's office to stuff them, the GIs broke into the local National Guard armory, secured all of the weapons there, including machine guns and dynamite, and held a pitched all-night battle with the forces of evil, succeeding at dawn in getting the corrupt politicians to surrender the ballot boxes. And lo and behold, with that action, the corrupt machine was crushed in that county. So it's a famous story in Tennessee history, and it's one that I often make a reference to in my speeches or my testimony to the state legislature and in my writings by saying, you know, we basically have two choices in America. We can run honest elections, we can count the votes the way they're cast, or we can have another Battle of Athens. And so when the agent explained to me what my terrorist threat was, he, by the way, said, you know, Bernie, we had to Google the Battle of Athens before we came out here, and it's a pretty impressive story. And I said, yes, sir, it is. So we sat and talked, and I explained to them that, you know, I hadn't made any threat to anyone. I had and will continue to call on the storied history of Tennessee and our long history of fighting for voting rights and free, fair, and verifiable elections in any and everything, I say. And, you know, within, I would say, 10 minutes, the agents both had figured out what the deal was. And, you know, the deal was not that I had made a terrorist threat, but that the Secretary of State had made a ham-handed attempt at using the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation as what one commentator has said as their Stasi or KGB. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the TBI resented it, I resented it, and this Secretary of State is going to come to regret it when we take him to court for his own criminal behavior. So,
yeah.
Believe me, last Tuesday was an interesting time. It went a whole lot better than the last time the TBI visited me 7 years ago when they raided my farm on a medical marijuana event that many of your listeners are aware of. I've always appreciated Normal's support for my case, which is still ongoing, but even though the feds are still trying to confiscate my farm for what amounts to 7 pounds of usable cannabis, you know, it has not silenced me, and if anything, it's sort of liberated me to speak up on issues like this and to work for the kind of country and the kind of government that we've got to have, because I firmly believe that if we truly count the votes the way they're cast, if our representatives truly represent the will of the people, medical marijuana reform should be right around the corner. So, you know, I do see a clear tie-in between free, fair, and verifiable elections and returning cannabis to our medical pharmacopoeia here in the country.
You know, I agree with that. You know, I was thinking as you were telling that story, I remember that old saying that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And when you go back to that story of the Battle of Athens, I don't see that as terrorism. I see that as Americans reclaiming their inalienable right to free and fair elections, like you say. And again, going to your medical marijuana reference here, reclaiming the American right to grow hemp and to grow cannabis and use it any way we choose. If we can't honestly count the votes, there's no chance that we'll ever repeal this marijuana prohibition. So I applaud you for doing what you're doing, Bernie. I think it's a fantastic story. Tell us a little bit about the coverage you're getting on this now.
Well, I'll tell you, the it just shows how politically sophomoric our Secretary of State is. I think he thought that if these TBI agents showed up, it would intimidate me and scare me from, you know, continuing to work for honest elections here. But instead, you know, I sat down and wrote a long passage on what had just transpired. While I was locked up in a Federal Bureau of Prisons halfway house for 18 months, I started writing intermittent diary entries to a group of people that now are number over 500, and there are, oh, a couple of dozen journalists on that list. So when I sent out my diary entry about the TBI visit, several journalists in Tennessee jumped all over it, and one of them posted my diary entry in its entirety on his website. Two of them the next day called the Secretary of State to ask what the heck this terrorist threat charge was all about. And the Secretary of State's mouthpiece said initially, well, we can't talk about this. It's an ongoing investigation. And even though Bernie has sent you this diary entry, there are clearly two sides of the story, and the TBI has told us not to comment. So, of course, the two journalists called the TBI, and the TBI said, Secretary of State's office is full of shit. There was nothing to this charge. We determined that in a matter of minutes. And, you know, the case is closed. So the Secretary of State's office is blowing smoke, and it's not the good kind of smoke. So, again, these journalists and others just jumped all over this. once something enters the blogosphere, as you know, it develops a life of its own, and within probably 24 hours, the story was on 24 blog sites, both in the state and nationally. Some strong First Amendment scholars got behind the issue. Some very prominent election reform groups got behind the issue. And fortunately, 3 days after this it all happened, a friend of mine said, you know, back when the Battle of Athens happened, Eleanor Roosevelt was a nationally syndicated columnist, and she wrote a beautiful column basically titling it, you know, The Battle of Athens is a Warning to Our Country. So I found her column and sent it out to all of the same journalists who started writing about it again. Friday evening, an attorney called me from Knoxville offering his pro bono services to file 2 criminal charges against our Secretary of State, which we are discussing at this point, and hopefully those charges will be filed shortly. We have a local investigative television reporter interested. The national director of Project Censored, a group that has focused very much on stories that deserve attention but don't get the attention they deserve, is now on the story too. So, the hits just keep on coming, and we already today have people beginning to call for this Secretary of State to essentially be removed from office. He has not yet apologized to me for his ham-handed attempt at political intimidation. And actually, probably the perfect next chapter of this story is that both my hometown paper here in my county, and bless their hearts, the Athens, Tennessee Daily Post Athenian, nice, are both interested in doing a story on, how Bernie became labeled as a terrorist by invoking the proud history of the Battle of Athens. So, as we like to say down here, hide and watch, the story's far from over.
That is so great to hear. And the other thing I like about this story is how it's a nonpartisan story. It's not Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, left, right, conservative, liberal, whatever. It's an American story, just like our story for, fighting for the end of marijuana prohibition. Doesn't take any sides.
I appreciate your saying that, because I've talked to literally tens of thousands of Tennesseans over the last 5 years. Every Tennessean I know or I've spoken with wants our elections to be trustworthy. This Secretary of State doesn't. Every Tennessean I know wants our elections to be capable of being verified. Mm-hmm. This Secretary of State doesn't. Every Tennessean I've ever spoken to wants paper ballots so that we can count and recount them. This Secretary of State is doing everything in his power to prevent that. So you're absolutely right. As I told the TBI agents as they got ready to leave, I told them 2 things. The first was, I don't care what your politics are, I will do everything in my power as someone who loves this country to make sure your vote gets counted the way it's cast. The second thing I did was ask them to take a message back to the Secretary of State, and the lead TBI agent pulled out a pad and said, well, you just dictate it to me. I'll tell him anything you want. And so I said, Mr. Ellis would like Mr. Hargett, the Secretary of State, to grow a pair of balls, man up, and call him anytime he has any concerns about anything Mr. Ellis says. And that quote was delivered verbatim to the Secretary of State.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think we'll have to wrap things up on that. I don't think we can follow that any better than that. Bernie Ellis from Fly, Tennessee, working hard. The Battle of Ellis Farm, check it out on the Google. Just Google Bernie Ellis and then TBI, and it'll take you right to about 3 pages worth of stories on the farm there. And if you want more information on Bernie's medical marijuana activism, visit his website at www.bernieellis.com. www.savebernie'sfarm.com. It's a fascinating story. I love it. It's one of my favorites of the year. Bernie, thanks so much for joining us here on The Stash, and we'll spread your story far and wide.
Russ, thank you. If we never stop fighting, we will not lose.
That is right. We got truth, facts, and logic on our side. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another reminder to register for NormalCon 2009 in San Francisco last weekend of September. Early bird registration rates still apply up through the end of July, so hurry up. And leaders of local Normal chapters, you get an even deeper discount. Email me at chapters@normal.org and I'll send you the secret link that gets you the special Normal members only discount. It's going to be a lot of fun in San Francisco, California. We've got a special party just for the Normal leaders, invitation only, at a special residence known as the Starship Enterprise. You'll have to see it to believe it. We've also got the Normal High Times Awards and the Normal Fundraising Party, plenty of late night activities. And if you've never been to a Normal party, it's worth the price of the conference alone. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast. We'll be back the rest of this week for more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.